Grab your Bible, stand with me. Let's grab your Bibles. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the opportunity I have to hear, to preach your word and to teach your word. And I thank you, Father God, for the hearers of your word. Father, I thank you for the authority you've given me in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke the devourer who would attempt to steal the word from their hearts. Father, I bless you. I praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to attempt, this will be the last day or teaching on the series that I've been teaching on for the past couple of weeks about God being our ever-present help in a time of trouble. Turn with me to Psalm 46. I think we will move on to other things. We're going to be having some people speaking in the next couple of weeks, and it won't be me. October is normally what they call Pastoral Appreciation Month. I know y'all don't have any pastoral appreciation services planned for me, and I'm not going to plan my own pastoral service, okay? So there's some pastors that actually do that, y'all. Y'all think I'm joking? I've been in churches where the pastor dictates and details exactly how he wants his pastoral service to go. I'm like, good grief. But, you know, in due time, we'll be able to do things like that. But praise God, I hope that last week, we took a detour last week because some of you were having some issues with some of the things I was saying about, you know, trouble being your enemy and not your friend. And so we taught you from the scriptures how basically that God is not necessarily the one that sends you trials. We gave you a bunch of detail last week, especially some people had asked me some questions about James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And they thought that scripture said that God is the one who sends us trials to make us strong. But but we found out as we broke down that scripture last week that is not true at all. We are in a warfare. Satan is the one who is attacking you. He's the one causing you problems, troubles, and issues. And we saw from the scriptures themselves that trials don't necessarily make you strong. As I said last week, that if trials made us strong, then this church should be full to overflowing. Praise God. I mean, because if trials make you strong, then nobody should be backsliding. They should be spiritual giants. The whole world should be one to Christ. Because we get trials all the time. How many of you have trials? I raised 3 hands if I had them. I got problems, baby, just like you do. But I found out that the trials don't make me strong. What makes me strong is the strength that God gives me. And I'm going to show you that again. We're going to show you some practical things you need to do, spiritual but practical things that you need to do in the midst of problems that you're confronted with. But let's look at Psalm 46. It says, "God is our refuge." I think I got it up on the screen. Yeah. God is our refuge and strength. Say, God is my strength. See, it's not the trials that make you strong. It's God that makes you strong. Praise God. He's your strength in the time of He's a very present help in trouble. God is a very present help in trouble. He's your strength. He's your refuge. You know, there's a song that's out that says, "You are my hiding place." See, God is your hiding place. He's the one. A refuge is a place where you go to seek, well, basically seek refuge to get to from the enemy. You know, in the Bible, in the Deuteronomical books, Moses set up 5 cities of refuge, so that if a man accidentally killed someone else, then he was to run to one of those cities of refuge that was near him and stay there. And the person who was to avenge the death of their relative could not touch that man until there was a trial. And if the man was found innocent, he was to stay at that city of refuge until he died. If he ever left the city of refuge, then the avenger had a right to kill that person. Even though he made a mistake, he might have committed the thing accidentally. If he ever left that city of refuge, he left that protection. Praise God. Amen. Well, when you get that idea, think of God as your city of refuge. He's the one you run to when there is trouble. He's the one who will protect you from the manslayer, who is the devil himself. The Bible says that Satan is the murderer, or if you translate that into the Greek, Satan is the manslayer. Praise God. Amen. I know I sometimes give you technical information, but I want you to get grounded in what the Bible teaches on these subjects. Now look at this. I like this. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, say therefore.
Therefore.
I heard a man once say that when you see the therefore in Scripture, you need to read on and find out what it's there for. So, it connects one thought with the other. That's what we call a in the English grammar, we call that a conjunction. It connects the first thought with the second thought. God is my very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Say, I will not fear.
I will not fear.
Say, if God is my help,
God is my help
in trouble,
I will not fear.
Glory to God. See, fear and faith are polar opposites. I can't be in faith if I'm scared. I cannot have fear and have faith at the same time. The Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if I am afraid because of the trouble that I'm being confronted with, then that means that I don't believe that God is my help in a time of trouble. Now, if the circumstances are confronting me, and I continue to declare, like the psalmist, that God is my refuge, He's my strength, He's my very present help in time of trouble, then therefore, I will not fear. And it goes on to talk about the circumstances that we're all confronted with. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. If I believe that God is my refuge and my strength and my very present help in a time of trouble, I will not be moved by the circumstances. Praise God. But see, I got to learn to believe this. I've got to learn to grasp this. I got to learn to put this in my spirit and continue on with it. And when circumstances come up, then I won't be on the phone trying to call my best friend saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh God, this is just too much for me. No, I will go to God and I will say, God, I thank you that in spite of what's going on in my life, you have been my refuge and you are my strength and you are my very present help in this trouble. Praise God. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Glory to God. I'm so glad that my God is a mighty God. He has might. He has power. He can get me through anything. Now, I want you to understand this word trouble again. Remember that one of the words we Remember, I told you before, and I tell you this quite often, that the Bible, your English Bible, was not originally written in English. Matter of fact, when the Bible was being written, the English language was not in existence. The Bible began in the Hebrew language before Christ was born. And then later, after Alexander the Great conquered the world and he made all the whole world speak Greek, then the New Testament began being written in Greek. But also the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek. And I'm going to show you why that's important in a moment. But in the Hebrew, we learned that the word troubles comes from the word sasar, and one of the words it means female rival. I don't know why it would be specifically be a female rival, but you know, I heard that, you know, a woman scorned is one that's difficult to overcome. They said there's no fury than the fury of a woman scorned. So I guess maybe that's why somebody made sure that they said it's a female rival. You know, men, sometimes we can get over things. You know, oh man, forget it, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But women, man, with make a woman mad, sometimes you're in trouble for a long time. But anyway, it means adversary. The word troubles means adversary, adversity, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, trouble. In other words, everything that's not good, that's what that word trouble is. Praise God. But also that word the word adversary, we know who is your adversary?
The devil.
1 Peter chapter 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Say your adversary.
My adversary.
Who's your adversary?
The devil.
Who's walking around like a roaring lion?
The devil.
That's right. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction, say affliction.
Affliction.
See, who brings the afflictions? God or the devil?
The devil.
Right. The devil's the one bringing these afflictions. You're supposed to resist him. See, if the afflictions are coming from God, you can't resist God, right? Mm-hmm. He's too powerful. Mm-hmm. There's a play that was out many years ago called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. I'm in full agreement with that. I can't, there's no whooping God. So, if God is bringing my problems, there's nothing I can do about it except grin and bear it. Say, oh well, the Lord must be doing this for a reason. I don't know what the reason is. But unfortunately, that's what a lot of Christians do. And they get beat down by the problems. Because they have the que sera sera attitude. What we need to do is stand against the problems. We are supposed to resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, in other words, you, me, we don't have any different afflictions, praise God. And all of us go through trials. All of us have problems. All of us go through situations. Sometimes we think that nobody understands. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrows. We think that nobody understands what we're going through. Baby, let me tell you, we all got problems, praise God. We all got money issues. We all got health issues. We all got family problems. We all got relatives that get on our last nerve. Maybe some of y'all don't have relatives like that. I got a few. But now I want you to see something here. I want you to understand. The problems don't give you the strength. Problems, say this with me, say problems do not.
Problems do not.
Give me strength.
Give me strength.
And look at 1 Peter 1, chapter 5, verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered a while, will make you perfect. Who's going to make you perfect? The problems of God.
God.
That's right, the God of all grace. He's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you. He's going to do what?
Strengthen
you.
He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. It's not the problems. that strengthen you. It's not the problems that perfect you. It's not the problems that settle you. The problems are designed to unsettle you. The problems are designed to weaken you. The problems are designed to make you imperfect. The problems are designed to unestablish you. What God will do in the midst of the problems, if you will trust Him to be your help, He will perfect you. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. He will do it by His grace. Praise God.
Amen.
Paul said it this way when he was facing what he called the thorn in the flesh. He said that the grace of God came upon him to give him strength. So he was able to brag about his infirmities because he said that in my weakness, the grace gives me the strength to carry on. Praise God.
Amen.
See, it's been a lot of people don't receive this kind of teaching. They're taught that the problems can't come to make them strong. But when we really dig through the Bible and find out the truth, we find out that it's not necessarily true. The devil is coming to destroy your life. He wants to take you out. He wants to kill you off so that you will be ineffective for God. And one of the ways he can do it is by keeping you from understanding the truth about him and making you think that everything that happens to you comes from God. And so if you think it comes from God, you'll just sit there and take it. Just like, well, if God is doing this to me, then forget it. I ain't going to church no more or whatever have you. Or if you do continue to come to church, you say, well, God is doing this to me. There's nothing I can do about it except cry on everybody's shoulder. God needs you to do more than that. He needs you to be effective for him, praise God. He needs to get off your duffelness and go out there and share the gospel with people. He needs you to call people up who are hurting and share this truth with them. See, if I can strengthen this core group of people and make y'all understand this truth, then you can share this truth with others and you can strengthen them and build them up and we'll have stronger prayer warriors for Christ, praise God. We'll have people that will stop being concerned about their own needs, their own problems, their own things, and they'll begin interceding for others because they'll already know what to do about their problems. Glory to God.
Amen.
They'll know how to run to God for their problems, and they'll know how to pray for others in the midst of their problems. Now, let's look at Psalm 46 again. I want to show you something. In Psalm 46, verse 1 again, let's look at that word troubles again. We told you that the Hebrew word was sara, which means adversary. And we also told you a moment ago that the Hebrew Bible was later translated into the Greek. And so sometimes it's good to look up the words in the Greek as well and match them into the New Testament. How many of y'all like puzzles? How many of y'all ever put puzzles together? Only three of us? Oh, four of us? Man, what's wrong with y'all? I'm going to buy a bunch of boxes of puzzles for Christmas for y'all. Y'all can learn the joy of getting frustrated with trying to put that little piece sticking in there somewhere. How many of y'all ever played Connect the Dots or something? I mean, crosswords, anything? I love doing that, and so I guess I've kind of taken that that fetish of mine, and I've put it into my studying of the Bible. I just love connecting the dots. And so what I did, I looked at the word trouble here in Psalm 46, and I said, well, let me find out what it is in the Greek Septuagint. The Septuagint is the translation of the Old Testament from the Hebrew into the Greek. And so I looked that up, and the word Greek word is philipsis. Say philipsis.
Yeah,
it sounds sophisticated. Say philipsis.
Philipsis.
All right, I like that. According to the Strong's Dictionary, it means pressure, affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, and trouble. So philipsis is basically problems, right? So God wants to help you in the midst of all your philipses. So now, as we learn the Greek word to that, once again, I want to connect it to the New Testament and show you how that word philipsis is applied in the New Testament. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. And let's begin at verse 9. I have it up on the board for those of you who didn't bring your Bibles. It says, now Jesus is talking to he's addressing seven churches in the book of Revelation. And this is one of the churches he's talking about. He's giving them compliments, you know, because they're going through a lot of persecution and they're learning to endure it as good soldiers. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but they are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. Say Satan.
Satan.
Do you know Satan has his own synagogue or his own church? Yeah, he sure does. A lot of people who claim to be religious are really of the synagogue of Satan. See, these Jews were persecuting the Christians in the name of God. You know, Jesus said that many people will persecute you thinking they're doing God a favor. And that's what they were doing. But God says, they're not of me, they're of Satan. Say Satan.
Satan.
So the persecution and the trials that come are of Satan. Look at this. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil. Say the devil.
The devil.
The devil shall cast some of you into prison. It's not God that's casting people into prison. You know, there's a missionary group called the Martyrs for Christ that go into places like Asia and, you know, China, Russia, you know, where Christians are being strongly persecuted for the Lord. And, you know, I read the testimonies of what some of these people are going through and how much they suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand that people who get thrown into prison, being starved half to death, that it's not God that's doing that to them. That God is giving them the strength to endure and to deal with it, but God is not the one making it happen. Praise God.
Amen.
So, it's the Bible specifically says, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation. Say tribulation.
Tribulation.
Now that goes back to Psalm 46, verse 1, where it says that God is a very present help in trouble. That's thlipsis. Say thlipsis.
Thlipsis.
Come on, y'all gotta say it with some pizzazz. Thlipsis.
Thlipsis.
All right, say like you mean it. No. So that goes right back to the word thlipsis, which is trouble, trials. Adversaries. So they were going to have that thlipsis for 10 days. But he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Praise God.
Amen.
So, the main point I want you to see here is that the trouble that comes your way is not from God, it's from the devil, and you need to learn to stand against it. When you're, you know, we were watching at the Women's Fellowship, you know, we were watching Charles Stanley last night, and I mean, he taught a very good lesson. And one of the things he was talking about was how when you're confronted with people confronting you, he said, look at the confrontation that's coming from God. But he wasn't saying that the confrontation came from God. He says, view it that way so that when you're dealing with the people, you can respond to them in a righteous manner. See, if you try to understand God and ask Him for the strength, then when you're dealing with people, you won't look at the people themselves. Praise God.
Amen.
See, if me and my wife are having a confrontation, and if I learn to remember that's not my wife that I'm trying to fight with, it's the enemy that's motivating her, then I won't be acting ugly with my wife. I won't be fussing and fighting with her, but I will try to deal with the spirit behind her. Praise God.
Amen.
So, when we're facing confrontations, when we have problems on our jobs, when we're having problems in school, or all these other different areas, we begin to look to God to be our help in all these situations. And we don't sit there and say, que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, we don't look at it that way. We begin to stand against them through prayer in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, with a little bit of time left, I'm going to teach you how to stand. I taught you past couple of weeks how we are supposed to pray in the midst of these situations. We looked at some examples in the Bible. We looked at King Asa, We also looked at King Jehoshaphat. Let's look at King Hezekiah and how he looked to God to help him in all of his trials. Turn to 2 Chronicles 32. Are you learning anything today? Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You need to learn to stand. He said, "In the evil day, having done all, stand." Praise God. It doesn't say sit back and say, "Well, whatever happens, happens. All things happen for a reason." No, it says stand. That means resist, fight, deal with it. Don't just sit there and take it. Fight back. When I was a kid, now I don't know if this is the proper way to raise kids, because you know I never had to deal with the situation. None of these three kids ever, as far as I know, got into a physical fight with anybody. I only came home one time and saw TJ trying to break up a fight with some boy that lived down the street from us. But I've never really seen him get involved in a physical fight. But when I was a kid growing up, we had multiple physical fights, because the neighborhood I grew up in, it was just a bad neighborhood, so you had to fight. You had to survive. I had to learn to go. My mom, she was a very strong woman. If I came home crying, hoping my mom would help me out, she wouldn't show me any sympathy. She would tell me, "Boy, you got two choices. You either get out there and you fight that boy, or I'm going to whoop you. Which one do you want?" I looked at mom, who was much bigger than me. I looked at the boy that was my same size and said, "I'll take my chances with him." So mom didn't sit there and say, "Well, son, it's okay. It's going to be all right." So, I never had to apply that philosophy to my kids, but I probably would have told them, don't just sit there and just let somebody beat the living crap out of you. I always tell them this, though. Don't ever start a fight. And if you can, walk away from it. But if somebody's trying to hurt you, you better fight them back. Glory to God. Amen. There's times, Jesus did say that if somebody clocks you on one cheek, turn the other one to him. That's one of the few difficult sayings of Jesus I've had some trouble with. I said, "Lord, how am I going to ever get through that one?" There's been times people have tried to hit me, and I was ready to just go ahead, try to connect, and I'll knock you out. But we all growing and learning, praise God. Yeah. Amen. But in the spiritual realm, we must learn to fight. And we fight not through physical, putting our dukes up, because the Bible says that it is not a war it's not a war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and we must use spiritual weapons. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. They are mighty through God. Say, through God.
Through God.
Through the pulling down of strongholds. See, God gives us spiritual weapons to fight with. If everything came from God, then we wouldn't need weapons. Praise God. So, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32... I like God's exhortation to the king, to King Hezekiah. He says this. He says, "Be strong and courageous." He didn't say the problems were going to make you strong. He told him to be strong. Praise God.
Amen.
Be strong in the midst of the problem. "Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him now is an arm of flesh." Ooh, but I like this part. Say, "But." There's some good buts in the Bible, I'm telling you. One of these days, we might just do a study on all the buts of the Bible. It says, but with us is the Lord and our God to help us. Whew, I like that. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. God is with you, and He's willing to help you. And He is going to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the works of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Glory to God. See, the king Sennacherib, you know, he was the king of Assyria. Now, he's just like the devil. What he tried to do, he was trying to taunt them, trying to taunt Israel, saying, oh, what, you ain't nothing. There ain't nothing King Hezekiah can do. Don't let him fool you. Your God ain't going to help you. But King Hezekiah stood up and told them, nope. He said, God is with us, and He's going to help us, and He's going to fight our battles. Praise God.
Amen.
But the devil's going to do the same thing to you. He's going to tell you, see, God is not with you. He's the one who brought that on you in the first place. God is trying to test you to make you see, to make you strong. Just take it. See, you need to stand. Praise God.
Amen.
Don't let the devil have his way in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
Now I want to show you what to do in the midst of these trials. Turn to Psalm 37. One of the things you need to do is claim God's promises of help. This is exactly what Hezekiah did. He said, God is with us to help us. He was claiming the promises of God that God had given before to Solomon and to others, that when they were in trouble, when nations would come against them, then you would come and you would help them. So he was claiming that promise from God. And you need to learn to do the same thing. You need to learn to claim God's promises. You need to learn to speak God's promises. You need to learn to confess God's promises. One of the things we got to stop looking at things through the eye of the flesh and learn to look at things through the eye of faith. We got to stop looking at our circumstances and letting the circumstances dictate to us. We got to learn to start dictating to our circumstances. We got to learn to start speaking the word of God. See, we don't deny the circumstances. We don't say, well, the circumstances are true. We simply say that God's word has more power than the circumstances themselves. We're not going to deny the circumstances, but we're going to look to the word of God to change the circumstances. Praise God.
Amen.
We don't look at the circumstances as bigger than God. We look at God as being bigger than all of the problems that we face. Exactly like Hezekiah was doing. And with that, I hope that you found Psalm 37. Let me turn there. Psalm 37. Let's look at verses 39 and 40. You see, I have to give y'all script. I have to make sure that I give you plenty of scripture on this, because not everybody teaches this type of thing. And so, if you're taught differently, then I got to make sure that I fill you with plenty of scripture so that you can understand that I am actually coming from the Word of God. It is not based on my own personal theology. Praise God. I'm not just coming up with something. I would encourage you to study the scriptures I give you. I would encourage you to take these things home. If you're taking notes, write them down, go over them again so that you can see that what I'm talking about is right. Don't take my word for it, because I could be wrong just like anybody else. I'm a human being. But experience and scripture has shown me that I'm right most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 39, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. Who is your strength?
God.
Is the trials your strength?
No.
He is their strength in the time of trouble. I like that. God is my helper in the time of trouble. He's my strength in the time of trouble. He is my deliverer. And look at this. Look at verse 40. And the Lord shall help them. Say, the Lord shall help them.
The Lord shall help.
Now point to yourself and say, the Lord shall help me.
The Lord shall help me.
Glory to God. The Lord will help you. See, what you got to do is learn to confess that. He says, the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? because they trust in him. See, if you don't trust in him, he can't save you. He can't deliver you. He can't be your helper. But if you trust in him, that means put your full reliance on him. That means don't take the problem back. You know what some of y'all do? You say, God, I'm going through this trouble. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then, after God will say, okay, I'll take it from you. And then, what you do, as soon as you see your friend, you know what? I don't know what you did. You just took it right back from God. I don't know what I'm going to ever do. What am I going to do, Terry? What am I going to do? You're not trusting God when you do that. Praise God. If you go to God and you give him the trouble to God, you say, God, help me in the trouble. You don't go to Tommy and say, Tommy, I prayed, ain't nothing happened. I prayed 5 minutes ago and ain't nothing changed yet. Man, you're a real rock, ain't you? No, we got to continue to stand. We got to continue to believe that God is our help in trouble. Now, turn with me to Hebrews 13. Let me show you just a couple more scriptures. We'll close out. This is the last Sunday I'll be preaching for probably about a month. So, I gotta give it all to you while I can. We're gonna have other speakers come in here to bless you and encourage you and to build you up. And after that, hopefully, if I'm hearing right from God, I'll be teaching a series on the subject of faith itself. But I want to get you grounded in this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Well, begin at verse 5. I really want y'all to get this scripture right here. This scripture is vitally important. It is necessary to your life of victory in Christ. Give me this. I definitely want you to get this, buddy. Hebrews. Hebrews is right before James. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5. We'll read verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. That's talking about your lifestyle. And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, thank God. He's with me. Say, God is with me. He'll never leave me. Yeah, see, you know, that's a good and a bad thing, because when I want to sin, and I know that God is with me, it's difficult for me to sin, ain't it? You got to really block God out of your mind in order for you to go out and just do what you want to do. So, but really, that is a good thing, because God protects you from sin, because sin will destroy you. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now look at this. Verse 6 is talking about making a bold confession of faith. Verse 6, and I'm reading from the King James Version, says that we may boldly say. Say the word say. The Bible says to say. Say this with me. Say the Bible says.
The Bible says.
To say something.
To say something.
See, you got it can't be just thinking it. You got to actually speak this out of your mouth. When God created the heavens and the earth, you know what he did? He spoke it into being. And then he created us in his own image and in his own likeness, and he expects us to speak. He expects us to say things in order to bring them to pass. You see, what you say is an indicator of what you believe. Praise God.
Amen.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I don't trust God, then what comes out of my mouth is going to indicate that lack of trust. See, sometimes people come to me and they tell me, they crying on my shoulder, tell me all the issues they're going through. And then after they finish, and I say, well, you got to trust God. Oh, I do trust him, Pastor. I'm like, that don't sound like trust to me.
I don't know what God's going to do, but I trust him.
No, you got to believe what the word of God says. Praise God.
Amen.
It says in verse 6, so that we may boldly say. You know, this is one of the reasons why I always have y'all make statements. It's not because I like having control and telling people, well, yeah, I do enjoy telling people what to do. No, I'm just, but anyway, it's because I know that speaking it will get it in your spirit. So it says this, this is what you are supposed to say. And you're supposed to say this boldly. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I am supposed to boldly say that. See, if I fear what man does unto me, then I don't believe that God is my helper. Praise God. Remember what we said. Fear and faith are polar opposites. You can't have fear and faith at the same time. You can't be trusting God and still be scared of what man will do to you at the same time. I can boldly say, because the word of God promises that God is my helper. So we've got to learn to speak the word of God. If nothing else, get yourself some 3x5 cards, write down the scriptures, put them up on your mirror, get up every morning and begin to speak those scriptures out loud to yourself. Say, hey, I say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, I do that. I do that sometimes, especially if I'm going through a financial problem. I remind God, I say, God, I've given my tithes, I've given my offerings. You said that when I do that, you will open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that should not be room enough to receive it. And Lord, you said that you would rebuke the devourer for my sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of my ground, saith the Lord. You promised this, Father God, I trust you for it, and I know you'll take care of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, he has not failed the brother yet.
Yes.
Whenever I've been sick, I have just declared the word of God. Father God, that doesn't mean I don't go to doctors. Well, I haven't been to a doctor in a long time, but there's nothing wrong with going to doctors. No, I'm serious. There's nothing wrong with doctors. Thank God for doctors. Doctors have saved my life. Doctors are on the same team as God is. Praise God. God has raised up doctors. But what I'm saying is that when I'm sick, I'm not depending on the doctor himself. He may give me some medicine to relieve some of my pain, help me with some of my symptoms, but I'm trusting God to heal me. Because he said that if I serve him, he would bless my bread and my water, and he would take sickness away from the midst of me. Praise God.
Amen.
He said that he sent his word to heal me and to deliver me from my destructions. I am trusting God to help me in every variable and aspect of life. When I'm going through persecution on a job, and I went through some serious persecution on my job just recently. I didn't tell none of y'all about it. I wanted to just wait for the... I just was going to wait to get the victory, then I testify about it one day. Now, you know, they was treating me so mean on my job, and now they're all nice again. They're all true, and we love you. Well, I mean, they don't say that, but now I'm the greatest guy in the world again. But I mean, I was going through some horrible persecution just not too long ago. But I prayed myself through it, praise God. I didn't sit there and cry. Why did you treat me so nasty on the job? Why? I did do that with Taco maybe once or twice, but no, I mean, not like that, but still, I stood, my wife continued to pray for me, to praise God, and God got me through the situation. And that's because we stood on the word of God. God will help you. I recognize God is my very present help in the trouble I was going through on my job. I mean, you know, I've had issues just like y'all do. I mean, I've had the IRS trying to get tons of money from me a few years ago. I mean, there was a couple of $1,000s they claimed that I owed them several years ago. I said, boy, I can't afford this. I went to Jesus. I said, Jesus, can't afford it. Can't afford it. I had a cell group that I was teaching at the time. I said, y'all need to pray for Pastor Troy. They prayed with me. About 1 or 2 weeks later, the IRS wrote back and said, okay, we dismissed the debt. Let it go.
Amen.
See, but you got to stand on this. You got to believe that God is your helper. And don't worry. You know, see, what we do sometimes, we believe God to help us, but then we try to look for resources or try to find ways of our own strength to see how we're going to accomplish this. Like Abraham and and Sarah did. Let's not look to help God help us, praise God.
Amen.
Let's look to God to just help us, period. All right. I'll give you one more scripture and we'll close out. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. This last scripture, and we'll finish this. Although I got a lot more scriptures, two more pages of notes that I wish I could give you, I won't do it. I'm going to be nice. Isaiah chapter 30. What I want you to see from this scripture is that if you fail to seek God for help, you won't get the help. All right? See, God says,
chapter
30. God says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you're not seeking him, you don't get the rewards that he wants to give you. That's just the way God has set up the system that way. Don't get mad at me. And I'll tell you this. If God did things in your life without you praying for it, I guarantee you there was somebody somewhere praying for you. There are many times that God has done things for me without my asking, but then I find out later that somebody was actually praying about me. They were praying for me. And see, many of you are getting the benefits of those of us who are interceding for y'all all the time. I'm praying for y'all a lot. I pray for you by name. I know there's others in here who are interceding for all of you all the time. And some of y'all are getting the benefits of that. But God expects you to one day grow up and believe him on your own. Isaiah chapter 30. Let's look at that real quick. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that may add sin to sin, that walk to go down unto Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion." See, when you go to the world for help, instead of asking God for help, then the world will bring you shame. Praise God. And God will let it happen because you don't trust him. Look at the next chapter real quick, Isaiah 31. This will be the last one we look at. Again, he says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are men, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Remember, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You don't get him to be your rewarder if you're not seeking him, praise God.
Amen.
If you're not going to seek the Lord, then you get what he says in verse 2. "Yet also, he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity." You don't want God fighting against you. You want him fighting with you. Thank you, Tommy. Boy, Tommy, you're becoming a theologian, man. Glory to God. Help me preach the sermon and everything. So you need to look to God for help. This is the whole thing I've been trying to teach you for the past several weeks. Not trying to cause theological confusion, but trying to get you to understand that if you don't trust God, and if you sit there passive and allow things to happen to you, and you don't stand against the wiles of the devil and look to God to help you, then you will be overwhelmed by the problems. You'll be overwhelmed by the circumstances, and they will destroy your life. Praise God.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to hear your word today. Lord, we thank you for the teaching. Father God, we thank you for the revelation and insight which you've given to us.